the doctrines and Bible. And like I said before, most Christians go to church. They don't know what they believe, why they believe it. They don't know nothing. And we want you to know what you believe. When you come to church, you ought to know what you believe, why you believe. And there's some strange doctrines out there. We started out talking about the salvation, the doctrine of salvation. And it's important. And the Bible talks about sound doctrine. Go, you take your Bible, 1 Corinthians or 1 Timothy, go to 1 Timothy and look at chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, talk about sound doctrine. And people call me up. They said, man, they got all this strange doctrine people believe. I had a guy call me up last week or Wednesday night and asked me, he said, what do y'all believe? And I said, well, you got to come talk to us. And he says, well, I've been to this church, I've been to that church, I've been to this church, and I've been to that church. And he said, are you the same as this church? I said, no, we're not. And he says, well, what's the difference? So I said, that's going to take a while to explain. And he said, he wanted to know what the difference was. I said, well, you need to come sit down and listen and ask God to show you. So when it comes to knowing what you believe, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians or 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16, it says, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Know what you believe, why you believe it. And it says you'll save yourself. What do you mean save yourself? Save you a lot of heartache. Save you a lot of confusion. And what happens is when you go to places and they start teaching all kinds of things, then it causes confusion in your life. And you need to know what you believe, why you believe it. Now, we have a doctrinal statement here, what we believe. And basically, I wrote down a bunch of stuff on that doctrinal statement, what we believe. And there's a whole bunch. And there's, so much. But what happens is you got men teaching their own doctrine. You got men teaching things, and they teach their own doctrine. Now, Jesus Christ taught a doctrine, and the Bible has doctrines in it. And this day and time, people say, well, we're not going to argue about doctrine. Well, if you got to stand for something, or you fall for anything. If you don't stand for something, you'll fall for it. And I was amazed at people that I told somebody the other day. Who was it I told? I can't remember. I talked to so many people. I talked to somebody the other day. I said, it amazes me that people, I was telling somebody, it amazes me people tell me they sat under Brother Bilbo. And Brother Bilbo was a verse-by-verse guy. And he taught the Bible verse-by-verse. And those same people would tell me, oh, I learned so much from Brother Bilbo. But them same people that told me that, they're not even in church. None of them. And see, you can hear and say, well, this guy, and Dr. Upman's taught verse by verse. And I know some guys that went to school, and they're not even in church today. They're even serving God. And they would stand for Dr. Upman. They'd fight for Dr. Upman. And they would fight for Brother Bilbo. And they would fight for this. But they don't know, they don't apply what was taught. And if you don't apply what was taught, then you can say, I'm of a Paul, I'm of Apollos, and you can say all that stuff. And these people, same people would tell me, Brother Bilbo taught me so much Bible. And I said, well, if he taught you Bible, then you've got something in your mind, your heart, then how come you're not serving him? Amen. And there's a lot of Christians got a lot of knowledge. You know, the Bible says knowledge puffeth up. Right. Knowledge puffeth up. Yep. And what happens when I came out of Bible school, I was puffed up. I was so puffed up, and I thought I knew it all. I got around Buddy Cargill. Buddy Cargill never went to Bible school. And I looked at Buddy Cargill like, you don't know what you're doing. You don't know what you're talking about. But after I've been pastoring 30 years, I realized I don't know what I'm doing. And the more you read your Bible, but when you learn the Bible, you learn things. You learn, God will show you things that what's right and what's wrong. And then you apply it to your life. So look in Matthew chapter, I got a couple verses. Matthew chapter 15. Matthew 15. No, I know a lot more now than I ever knew, but the more you get into the Word of God, the more you know. You think, well, a lot I've got to learn. I've still got a lot of things to learn. I'm 62 years old, been saved since I was 18 years old. I still got a lot to learn, and if I got a lot to learn, a lot of folks got a lot to learn. And I've learned some things, and you learn when to pull out your sword and when not to. But it says in Matthew chapter 15, verse 8, the people drew nigh unto me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me.
Right,
see that thing? People, they draw nigh with their mouth. And Jesus saying that. And look at verse 7, what he says, you hypocrites. Well, did Elias prophesy unto you, saying, this people draw nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. You come in here this morning, we got all kinds of things on our hearts. You got all kinds of things that you're thinking about. I want to get done. I want to do this. I'm the same way. I got 15 million things I want to get done. And boy, I tell you what, but when it comes down to worshiping God, serving God, I want to see more people saved. I want to see more people living for God. I want to see help more Christians, and I want to help people get saved. And I look at where I look at people, I don't care who you are. I look at you like, wow, you got potential.
Amen.
You could do something for God.
Yeah.
I don't look at nobody and say, they ain't no good. I remember sitting in my class in Bible school. I remember sitting there thinking, man, these guys are going to do something. Oh, these guys are really good. I mean, I wanted to be on the bottom of the totem pole. And I'd look at those guys, and then I found that what bothered me is a lot of these guys had all this knowledge and all this stuff. They ain't doing nothing. They know how to do it. And you got people come to church. They know how to, everything's supposed to be done, but they won't do it themselves.
Amen.
Oh, yeah, I know. But they wouldn't lift their finger. Do you know what that reminds me of? That's why you call them Pharisee.
Amen.
Jesus said, you Pharisees. But they draw nigh with their mouth, but their heart, they honor me with their lips, but their heart's far. Now look at this. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for the doctrines and commandments of what? Men.
Right.
In vain they do worship me. Now, you got Sunday morning going on all over this country and Sunday morning services, and you got people that being taught a bunch of false doctrine and a bunch of false things. And that's why these churches now are going up. You got these big old churches, Connection. They got you know, worship centers and this and that, but they don't teach nothing. They just get in there, they got the band, they get the band going, and everybody gets hopping up and down, and they get going, and praise Jesus, all right, yeah. They start, and that's the whole service, and the preacher gets up and says, well, you know, are you in trouble? Do you have problems?
You're in trouble, you're there.
Yeah, and they just start, they don't teach them anything, so you got to get grounded and rooted to know what you believe. Now, when you get grounded and rooted, that don't mean you walk around like a sourpuss.
Right.
If anybody ought to be happy,
yep,
and have joy in their life, it ought to be Christians that know their Bible.
Amen.
But I find most Christians that know their Bible are not happy. They don't, they're not joyful. They don't have no joy. They're always worried about everybody else. Look at Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. I ain't going to let nobody steal my joy.
Amen.
I ain't going to let man steal my joy. Lord, helping me. I speak as a fool. But I ain't going to let man do that to me. I've had some bad news this week. Bad. Where I cried. I've cried over it. And just mention it. Gets me to cry. But I ain't going to let that stop me.
Amen. Amen.
Serving God.
Amen.
And worshiping Him. And having joy. Even though it's heavy. And you might be going through something heavy. You can still have joy.
Yep.
Colossians chapter 2. Says verse 22, which all are to perish with the using after the commandments and doctrines of men, which things have indeed a show of wisdom and will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. He's talking about ordinances and things that people go through. And Colossians telling you, watch out for false mysticism and all this other stuff that goes on. And will worship, doctrines of men. And now let's look back at a couple of doctrines this morning. We talked about the blood last week. And go to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, we looked at this last week in verse 28. And the knowing that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, closes us from all sin is a great, great doctrine. Knowing the blood of Jesus, I mean, we believe in the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, we don't believe like the Catholic Church teaches that when they hold the wafer up and they say, this is the body of Jesus and they bless and all that stuff, and then you have to participate in it and you got to eat it, and they say that's your salvation. Now, we have communion here. We haven't had, we're talking about having communion in tonight. Are we having it tonight? Oh, wow. Man, I can't remember. Well, we'll have communion tonight. Amen. Brother John's setting it up. And but we don't believe that's our salvation. Amen. We'll have, you ought to come, tonight and have communion. And we'll have communion. And what it is, it's a reckoning in your own life. It's a reckoning time where you look at yourself and say, Lord, is there anything between you and I? And you know, like I said, most people don't care about that. I've seen people come here saved, people been saved for years, and they come to church, they don't even carry a Bible. They just come in and they just listen. And then they go out the door the same way because they didn't come to get anything.
Amen.
And they didn't come to get anything from God. But you know what? When troubles come and things come, that's when they wake up. And usually, hopefully. But the Catholic Church teaches that wafer is the body of Christ and they bless it and all that stuff. And that's your salvation. And we talked about this last week. When they put that piece of wafer in your mouth, according to their doctrine, and according to their law, of what they believe that's a part of, that's their salvation. But they really still don't know for sure they're going to go to heaven. And then you have to be baptized, you have to confess to the priest, you got to go through a whole bunch of rituals and ordinances to make sure. And then then you ask them, are you going to heaven? Well, I hope so. And they don't know. So we believe in the Lord's Supper. We believe in that, but that's not for our salvation. It's for our reckoning, for us to examine ourselves. That's what it's for. But they teach that when they drink the wine, that's the blood of Jesus. Because Jesus said, unless you eat my bread or eat my flesh and drink my blood, you shall not, no way enter in the kingdom of heaven. And they take that literal. All the other Bible, most religions take the Bible. They don't take the Bible literal at all. They say it's figurative, it's figurative, it's figurative. But when it comes to that one verse where Jesus talking figurative, saying, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, it was figurative. They wasn't talking about you to go up and rip his arm off and then start munching on him, and cut him open and start drinking him, and he wasn't talking about that. But they take that literal, and it's crazy. So, but Acts chapter 20, we know when Jesus Christ died, it was God's blood, and we ought to be cautious about that, especially when it comes to sin. It says in Acts 20:28, take heed, talking about preachers now. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost have made you overseer to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. Now you are a purchased possession. You've been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, paid for, and by his death, burial, resurrection. And then the blood of Jesus Christ is God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Now go to Romans chapter 5 just to kind of confirm this thing. Romans chapter 5, chapter 3, Romans 3, and look at 25. I thank God for the blood. And you know what? I've noticed this. Whenever I preached messages here on the blood of Jesus Christ, and whenever I preached on the blood, it seemed like all hell breaks loose. I'm not kidding. Whenever I preach on the blood, all hell breaks loose. Why? The devil, unclean spirits can't stand the blood. And they hate the blood because that's what defeats them. When we sing, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And we start singing those songs. I've told you about that silhouette that I've seen in the back here. And it stood at that doorway. I've been in my office here on Saturday night. And this thing standing there is a man shape. And a black top hat, all black. I've come out of my office and the thing's standing there. I've had the piano used to be over here. We have the grand piano. That thing would start playing by itself. I've been in here in my office at Saturday nights. And I come out, I can feel the hair back of my head stand. It just stand up. And I see that thing standing right there. And I walk out and say, hey, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood. And that thing, So whenever you're fearful and you feel like something's, you know, I've been in houses where people worship Satan and all that stuff, you sing about the blood. And the blood is the most powerful agent in all the world to wash away your sin. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Look in Romans chapter 3, verse 25. It says, back up to verse 21 to make sense. It says, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If you haven't got that verse marked in your Bible, you ought to mark it. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation, substitute, through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. Now go to look at it again, Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, and look at verse 9. Romans 5, 9. And we'll go back to verse 6. From when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man should some should even dare to die. But God commended his love towards us, and that while we yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his what?
Blood.
We shall be saved from wrath through him. We're justified by the blood. Now go to Hebrews 9. Go to Hebrews 9 just to kind of give the devil a smack in the face with the word of God. Hebrews 9. Hebrews 9, verse 22. Well, actually, we got to back up to verse 11 to be able to get this whole thing. Back up to verse 11, talking about the sacrifice, the new covenant, the sanctuary. But Christ being come a high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that body, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves. In Satan worship, they like to kill chickens and drink their blood. And Buddhism, you know, also in voodoo, they drink blood and all that stuff. And that's why the Bible tells you drinking blood in Leviticus is forbidden. Man shouldn't drink blood. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. See what it says? Neither by the blood of goats and calves, verse 12, but by his what?
Own blood.
He entered in once. See, the Catholic Church every Sunday morning gets up and they have to do it over and over and over and every Sunday to get their salvation. Jesus Christ went one time.
Amen.
One time.
Amen.
Paid our redemption. One time. And that's why I tell people, you only get saved one time. One time. You say, well, I rededicated my, well, that's fine. You can rededicate your life a million times. But getting saved is only one time. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered into the holy place, being obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood, now notice this, you underline this stuff. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling of the unclean. Now, the ashes of a heifer, that's something that the Jews claim they have now, that was to put in the water, sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh. They have to have the ashes of the red heifer to be able to have in the temple. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? For this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by the means of death for the redemption of the transgression that were under the First Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Talking about the Jews. It says, for where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of a testator. For a testament is of forced after men are dead. That's like, you know, everybody leaves their last will and testament for the people that inherit their belongings. and what they want, but Jesus Christ is alive. For the testament is of force after men are dead. Likewise, otherwise, it is no more strength at all while the testator liveth. Whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats and with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people. Now, when Moses did that, he had the blood. He goes up and he walks up to the place and he walks around and sprinkles the people and he sprinkles the book. Now, when you got saved, God didn't sprinkle you. He dipped you. You're washed in the blood. He dipped you. This book, that's why the King James Bible is so important. By the blood. It says, look at verse 19. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of the calves and of the goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. Notice that enjoining. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And then it says this, and almost all things are by the law purged with what? Everything in the Old Testament, the law, that was purged with blood of bulls and calves. So it's showing you a type of what's going to happen, New Testament. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Now, we have to read on down. It was therefore necessary that the pattern of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves, which better sacrifices than these. So Jesus Christ took his own blood, went to the tabernacle above, and the blood started there. He offered of himself to cover the sins of the world and the universe. And he offered that, and that thing covered the universe. He's our high priest. That thing went from the holy place up in heaven before the Father and went. That's why Jesus tells Mary, you ever wonder why when Jesus showed himself to Mary after he resurrected, he went up and Mary turned around and said, where have you laid him? And he said, Mary? And she said, Rabboni, which is master. And she goes, and he said, don't touch me. Why? Because a high priest could not be defiled. He could not be defiled. If she would have touched him, she would have defiled him. He says, I go to the Father, our Father, the Father and your Father. I'll tell the disciples I'll meet him in Galilee and so on. So he goes up to the third heaven, blood sacrifice carried, and that blood covers the universe. Wow. It says, verse 24, for Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are a figure of the true, but into heaven itself, like to appear in the presence of God for us. That's why he's our mediator. It says, nor yet that he should offer himself often as a priest entered into the holy place every year with blood of others. He don't have to offer himself but one time. This is one time. It says, then must he have often suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself, as appointed unto men, once to die, but after this the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. What a great chapter. Go to chapter 10. We'll have to read on. I can't just go to one verse. I got to read the whole thing. It says, for the law, having a shadow of good things to come, not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually make the comers thereunto perfect. Now, you get saved, God makes your, he separates your soul from your flesh, he makes you perfect. I'm perfect, but I'm not perfect. So that's the dual nature we have. Your soul is perfect. And it's washed in the blood. My flesh has to get cleansed on a daily basis. And sometimes every hour. So that's the separation. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. When you got a dual nature now. That's why when you get ready to sin, something inside you says, don't do it. Don't even look at that. Don't say that. Don't. You got the Holy Ghost of God inside you. And he's in there and he's sealed. He's sealed with your soul. That's wild. When I first got saved, man, I thought I was going crazy. I never had nothing bother me about using. I'll never forget the first time I said, well, God blank. I used to say God blank all the time. And when the first time I said it, it was like something went in my heart. And I went, oh. I was at a guy's house the other day, and I was sitting there talking to him, and he said, God blank. And I turned around and looked at him, and his wife says, shut your mouth. Don't you talk like that. I went, thank you. No Christian. The Bible says blessings and cursings shouldn't come out of the same mouth. Well, I was mad. Makes no difference.
Amen.
All right, look on verse 2. For them would they have cause to be, not have cause to offer, because that the worshiper, once purged, should not have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is remembrance again made of sins every year. So every year, think about it, every Jew had to go to Jerusalem, to the temple, and offer a lamb sacrifice. The blood had to be cut. The lamb's throat had to be sliced. And that priest had to go through a whole bunch of stuff to get cleansed himself. And then that lamb, you come up, here comes a family, comes walking in. I've seen it at Jerusalem. I didn't see sacrifice there. But they want to rebuild the temple because they still don't believe Jesus Christ was God's Lamb of God. So they're right now wanting to rebuild the temple so they can have blood sacrifices again. Because if you ask the Jew, how are you getting your sins cleansed? And they'll say, well, I go to synagogue, I go do that. But they know there's got to be blood.
Right.
If they don't believe Jesus Christ was the Messiah and he was the one that shed the blood, then they have to do it on their own or something else.
Yeah.
So you ask the Jew, what are you doing for your sacrifice? Talking about a Jew, I seen Seth Richards the other day. I was out there. I went in. How many of y'all know Seth Richards? He's a Jew. And he followed me around AutoZone saying, hey, preacher, you tell them people they're going to go to hell real loud. I mean, he saw walk around and he's all right. And he goes, there's a guy out here who just got saved the other day. And I said, hey, boy, I went up and talked to him. And he's following me around. And then he says this to me. He's talking to me. He said, what do you think about them God blank Jews? And I went, Seth, you're a Jew. I know. They need to get saved. That's what they need, the God blank Jews. Anyway. Look at verse 4. It says, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. Jesus Christ was the body. It says, and burnt offerings and sacrifice for sin that thou hast had no pleasure. God didn't, you think God, the blood had to be shed, but God didn't have no pleasure in that. Little lamb, they sing a song about the little lamb. A little lamb, I said a family had to come, and they brought their little one-year-old lamb. They had to bring a one-year-old lamb with no blemish. And they had to bring it, the whole family had to come. And they come up to the temple, and they would say to the priest, and then they have the high priest would go in by himself after all this was done, and they would say, "This is our for our household. This is for our household." And they write down their name. And that little lamb would be led to a place to be slaughtered. And then they would burn that flesh out there. It was like hell. They would, man, and then little animals. You got animal rights people right now, you know. All this stuff, but them little, God had no pleasure in lamb sacrifice or goats. God had no pleasure. But he had no pleasure by his son, the Lamb of God, to take away the sins of the world. Amen. That'll sober you up a little bit. Thinking about my whole family came to the Lamb. We got cleansed. But he had to pay the price. You know, the Bible says for Israel, the whole nation of Israel had to lay their hands on a lamb. Man, there's all kinds of things in the Bible that talks about had to have sacrifices for. Blood had to be shed. Whew. Get me all stirred up, man. It says in verse 6, in burnt offerings and sacrifice for sin, thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God. Jesus Christ willingly said, I'll be the lamb. Amen. And above, when he said, sacrifice offerings and burnt offerings and offerings for sin, thou wouldest not, neither has pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Every priest, underline this verse, every priest standeth daily offering or ministering, offering oftentimes the same sacrifice which can never take away sin. I showed that to Catholics. Every priest ministering. And it says, daily ministering, offering oftentimes the same sacrifice, which can never take away sin. And you know, here's the crazy thing about it. These are physical priests. The Bible says now that we're saved, we're spiritual priests. We're not a high priest. Jesus Christ is the high priest. So like I said, that family would bring that lamb to the priest, and then priests would do all the work. And they'd say, okay, here's this family, and that another family coming over there, another family coming over there. And these priests were doing the work, and then the high priest was the one that went in and did the main work. But that sin, that offering that they did, only postponed their sin from year to year. It just postponed it. So every year they had to go back. So you got thousands and thousands and thousands of people. And I'm telling you something. We went to Jerusalem. Jerusalem is a hike. Going up, you got to go up to Jerusalem. You got to go up. And we're going up into Jerusalem. Then you're climbing up and you're going into the city. It's going up. You're going up into old Jerusalem where the Temple Mount was. And man, you're talking about. And then we went from Dan to Beersheba, and there's people that was in Dan and the Beersheba. That's why when the 10 northern tribes split, they went and made their own place, but they offered a bull rather than bringing their sacrifice down to Jerusalem. So we'll have to get into this next time. It's already time. Father, Lord, we thank you, God, for your word. Thank you for being so good to us. Thank you for the Lamb of God. Amen. Thank you for the precious blood. And Lord, we sing those songs. I pray those songs would mean more to us now than ever before. Knowing, God, we take it for granted how good you've been to us. The blood that was shed. Oh, Lord, we love you. We thank you. Now, Father, minister our hearts today. God, help us to lift you up that all men might be drawn unto thee. In Jesus' name, amen.